Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which is placed before us this morning, is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 8th chapter. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, that was Jairus, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I learned that prayer, as many of you did, as a child. Although in later years, some have objected to it because they think it might be unhealthy for children to go to sleep at night thinking about dying in their sleep. So a dozen or more substitutes have been offered. There's a whole collection of them on the internet, which are like, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. When in the morning light I wake, teach me the path of love to take." Nice, but somehow lacking. We use a lot of expressions, euphemisms is what they are, for death in order to soften its rough, irritating edges, like deceased, succumbed, expired, no longer with us, laid to rest, passed away, passed on, or as we often hear it today, so-and-so passed, which raises the question for the serious student, how does passing resemble dying? There might be something there that I've never experienced. But the Bible, of course, does speak of death as sleep. And then it certainly is not a euphemism meant to blunt the sharp edges of a gloomy and depressing reality. The Apostle Paul writes in that wonderful resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, "We shall not all sleep. The dead shall be raised incorruptible." Remember that God told Moses that he would rest with his fathers. And so Jesus says here to the parents of a dead child, "She is not dead, but sleeping." Now, the accounts, as you know, of the miracles, our Lord's miracles in the New Testament, always have one very important banner title hanging over them. Truly, this is the Son of God, as John comments on Jesus' first miracle at the wedding of Cana. But our Lord nevertheless always teaches us more than that through these miracles. In this gospel about the raising of Jairus' daughter, much like the raising of Lazarus, we see especially clearly that Jesus himself is the Lord of life. And Jesus knows very well the difference between death and sleeping. Jesus speaks often of death as the corruption of the body into such a state that its functions cannot be restored simply by waking up and jumping out of bed. Death is the product of human sin. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die, the Creator says in the garden. And from the time that Adam and Eve eat in disobedience, their human condition is afflicted by physical death, which always comes sooner or later, and the spiritual death, which has not the power to wake itself out of sleep or to turn itself to God and to do His will. The greater affliction is the spiritual death, the inability and the unwillingness to honor the Creator and to do His will. That is the death that we carry around in our bodies, having believed the lie of Satan, "You shall not surely die." And it plagues us all of our waking and sleeping hours. That is what we're stuck with. And yet Jesus here calls death sleep. Why is that? Sleep is a state from which one awakens, refreshed, usually. Even if death is a corruption which turns us into nothingness, the one who made life also has the power over it and has made it clear that there is a new life to which we wake. Pictured, for example, in last Sunday's gospel about the sheep and the goats at the final judgment. Now, Jesus makes it very clear in what way He is the Lord of life. "The hour is coming," He says, "in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, the righteous to eternal life and the unrighteous to eternal condemnation." And so, in that sense, death is asleep, because there is an awakening. Not only is there a resurrection to life in heaven, but there is a waking from the spiritual deadness and powerlessness of our unbelief here in time. When Jesus shows His lordship over life and death, He exercises His power by speaking His word. "Young man, get up. Lazarus, come out of there. Little girl, arise." He speaks His word. God wills it, and it is. This waking from the sleep of death is also connected to His cross. Matthew reports that at the death of Jesus, many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So the one who calls out of death the likes of Lazarus, the son of the widow at Nain, Jairus' daughter, has also by His own death and rising to life given a foretaste of the victory over death accomplished in His own death and rising. That is the core of the message preached by the apostles. Now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, Paul. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, John. Our Lord of life has promised us this. Just as Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, and the young man from Nain by his powerful word, and will raise all at the last day of judgment, it is also in no other way than by his word that he wakes us from this spiritual death. You have been born again, Peter preaches, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, writes James. And St. Paul, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.